Good morning.
Good morning.
Excuse me. Yeah, I'm still fighting this cold, man. It's like the thousand-day cough. I don't know what's going on, but. Ooh. All right. We'll talk later. We'll talk later. So good morning. Good morning, everybody. For those who are new this morning or are visiting, I met a visitor just a few minutes ago. My name is Josh, and I'm one of the pastors here. If you hadn't noticed yet, it's Bike Week. Right? Praise the Lord that it's Bike Week. Yeah. So I didn't plan this, but I heard about a horrific crash that happened last night on was it State Road 11 or Highway 11. Many casualties. A car just pulled out in front of a pack of motorcycles. And apparently the news media isn't even allowed to go there. People are just asked to stay away from that part of the road. It's just horrific. So there's a my heart is heavy this morning because there are a great many number of people who have just met their Creator. And were they ready? Were they ready to meet their Creator? So of all the things that we do this morning, That is probably one of the most important things. The text that we have this morning deals with that. As a matter of fact, most texts in the scripture deal with just that idea. Are you ready to meet your Creator? None of those men or women who were riding those motorcycles last night could have thought for 2 seconds that they would meet God last night. And they did. You don't know if today might be your day, or if you have another 10, 15, or 20 years. James tells us that what is this life but a vapor's breath? It's here for a moment, and then it's gone. And so of all things, this morning, let us at least know that we are not invincible, and that we will meet God when this flesh stops working. Are you ready for that? I also want to offer this. As we are here, and as I am speaking, I have a little microphone here, you will hear motorcycles roll past this window. And every time that you hear that, and it might distract us, I want our hearts to go somewhere, just for a split second, and to be reminded that the bikers, they are a community unto themselves. They're almost like a church. They have a common aim, a common goal, they have common interests, and things that bind them together, even though they don't know each other's names. There might be people here this morning that you don't know their names or you can't quite remember their names, but yet you're bound together. Because as that is a community of people that have a common goal, we are a church. This is a church. This is the ecclesia, the called out ones, the ones who have been called out by God. And so because of that, not because of the color jacket you wear, but because of what Christ has done for you, you are welcome here. You belong here because of what Christ has accomplished. Not on your own merits, not on what you've done, not on what you wear, how well you ride your bicycles, but upon the merits of another. And so, because of that, I am thrilled to offer you this welcome. All who are weary and who are seeking rest, to all who mourn and long for comfort, to all who feel worthless and wonder if God is caring about them at this very moment, to all who fail time and time again, to all who sin and who long for a Savior, to all who hunger and thirst for righteousness, and to anyone else who might come. This church opens wide its doors and welcomes you in the name of Jesus Christ. Let me pray for us. Gracious and merciful Lord, we confess that with us there is an abundance of sin, but in you there is fullness of righteousness and an abundance of mercy and grace. We are spiritually poor, but you are rich. And in Jesus Christ, you came to be merciful to the poor. Strengthen our faith and strengthen our trust in you. We are empty vessels that need to be filled. Fill us. We are weak in faith. Strengthen us. We are cold in love, Lord. Warm us and make our hearts fervent for you, that our love may go out to one another and to our neighbors. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, we pray. Amen. We're going to cover the parable and the explanation of the parable of the sower, the seed, and the soils this morning. And what I want to do is I want to actually read verses 1 through 9 of chapter 13 in Matthew. So Matthew 13, 1 through 9. And then we're going to go right into the explanation of it, which begins in verse 16 and goes to verse 23. So we're going to hear Jesus tell the parable, and then we're going to see how Jesus unpacks the parable. So let's begin reading in Matthew chapter 13, beginning in verse 1. The same day Jesus went out of the house and sat beside the sea, and great crowds gathered around him to see, so that he got into a boat and sat down. And the whole crowd stood on the beach. And he told them many things in parables, saying, "A sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seed fell along the path, and the birds came and devoured them. Other seeds fell on rocky ground, where they did not have much soil, and immediately they sprung up, since they had no depth of soil. But when the sun rose, they were scorched, and since they had no root, they withered away. Other seeds fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. And other seeds fell on good soil and produced grain, and some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. He who has ears, let him hear." Verse 16, "But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For truly I say to you, many prophets and righteous people longed to see what you see and did not see it, and to hear what you hear and did not hear it. Hear then the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what has been sown in his heart. This is what was sown along the path. As for what was sown on the rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no root in himself, but endures for a while. And when tribulation or persecution arises on account of the word, immediately he falls away. As for what was sown among thorns, this is the one who hears the word, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. As for what was sown on good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understands it. He indeed bears fruit and yields, in one case 100-fold, in another 60, and in another 30. I cannot tell you how many times I've heard this parable preached or used in sermons as illustration or referencing things like indiscriminately casting the seed. The idea of the point of this parable being more about the sower and calling the evangelist, the Christian who is called to be sharing the gospel, calling the evangelist to indiscriminately cast the seed. how many times I've heard, you know, no matter how much we look at the text, so oftentimes the preacher, and I've been guilty of it myself, to use this idea to say, okay, now, as you share the gospel, be indiscriminate. You don't know what or who will hear and understand what you're saying. I'm not speaking against that reality. We should not discriminate and look at people and say, well, that person, they're too hard. I'm not even going to try. But the point of this parable is not that you are the sower and that you are to cast the seed of the Word of God indiscriminately across the ground. That's not the point. You're not the sower. Jesus is the sower. God is the sower. It is a sower who cast his seed into the world. Do you do the things that the sower does? Absolutely. Should you, as a Christian, sow the seed of the Word of God into the hearts and lives of people around you? Absolutely. But that's not what this passage is talking about. Can you apply that concept to your Christian life? Yes. But that's not the meaning of this passage. That's not the meaning of the parable. Too often, we take the Word of God and we put it into a meistic perspective where we set ourselves as the central character and it's always the good guy, isn't it? Right? I'm David. And Goliath is that difficult person at work. No! Jesus is David. And Goliath is sin in your life. He takes you down. He takes your sin down. He is the victor. You're the Israelites standing there watching it all unfold. Yay! Our champion. That's it. You're not the sower. You're the soil. In this parable, when the disciples come to him and say, Jesus, tell us what this means. What are we talking about here? He doesn't explain it. All right, so here's the deal. I'm going to give you this bag of seed, and you're going to go out and you're going to cast this seed into the highways and the hedges. Is that how he explains this? He doesn't give two thoughts to who the sower is. He doesn't tell them anything about the sower. He barely mentions what the seed is just so that they can understand. The seed is the gospel. It's the message of the kingdom is what Jesus says. It's the message of the kingdom. Now, let me tell you the point of the parable is that this message of the kingdom lands upon four different types of hearts, three of which end up in hell if something doesn't happen. Only one soil is good soil that where someone will actually hear the Word of God and it make an impact on their life for eternity's sake. And he blesses them. How many times does he bless them? You have ears to hear. Where do they get those ears? From God. So, the point of this parable is not to focus on the sower. The point of this parable is to focus on the soils. So let's take some soil samples. Let's look first at the pathway. Matthew 13, verse 4. And as he sowed, some seed fell along the path. And the birds came and devoured them. Now, verse 19 is the explanation of that parabolic statement. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, note that. Like, so hear that. This is huge. Don't miss this. I've missed this a lot in my life. Let me read it again. When anyone hears the, this is verse 19. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what has been sown in his heart. This is what was sown along the path. Jesus gives two descriptions of what the birds do to the gospel in the heart of this person, this pathway heart, okay? Devoured and snatched. Devoured means to eat it, but it has the connotation of consuming every last bit, every last morsel or piece. The tone of this word is in a particular Greek manner to express that the birds are solely responsible for the devouring. When Jesus explains the parable and says that the devil snatches the word away, the verb that snatching away is harpazo. It's just, don't worry, I probably didn't even pronounce it right. You're not going to be judged on Greek pronunciation. So, but this word means to grab, to seize by force with the purpose of removing and controlling whatever it is that has been snatched. Let me give you an example. Acts 23, verse 10, we see this exact same word used in the exact same way, and the translators add a little bit more so that way we can understand exactly what's being said in Acts 23, verse 10. I'll read it to you. And when the dissension became violent, the tribune, afraid that Paul would be torn to pieces. So I hope you understand. So Paul is in Roman authority. He's preaching, and the Romans are so concerned that the Jews are going to just kill him right then and there. But because Paul is a Roman citizen and has appealed to Caesar to have a judgment before Caesar, they have to keep him safe. So they're concerned that the people are going to kill him. Let me read it again. And when the dissension became violent, the tribune, afraid that Paul would be torn to pieces by them, commanded that the soldiers to go down and take him away from among them by force and bring him into the barracks. This idea of snatching him away. Now just put in your mind this idea of soldiers, a Roman guard, bursting into the scene and grabbing Paul, protecting him from the crowds, but snatching him by force and dragging him quickly away from the people. That is an idea of snatching away. Same word, written in the same manner, the same tone, and in the same conjugation, and all that stuff that we find about the pathway and the seed. Why does that matter? Because I'll tell you how I've read about the pathway people. Those hard-hearted souls. They are so hard-hearted. The seed can't penetrate them. They're just too hard. Right? So, of course, birds are going to come along and, you know, eat up the kernels of seed that are there. No. No. When Jesus explains this, what does he say about them in verse 19? When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, they don't understand the words of the kingdom. It doesn't say that they're so hard. Like the idea of the pathway, the people along the pathway, you have this imagery of the path being this beaten down, you know, hard, dusty road. And so that's why the... No! Jesus explains the imagery. If they are hard, why are they hard? Because they don't understand the message of the kingdom. You didn't understand the message of the kingdom at one time, did you? You were Pathway people, this is you. This is me. We didn't understand it, and something changed. God did a work in our hearts so that we would no longer be pathway, but good soil. So if we're going to look at people and think, oh, they're too hard, no. We should look at them with this understanding and say, they don't understand. And as we heard a beautiful definition of what compassion is last week, we should have compassion upon those people. As you see the people that have pathway-like hearts, hardened or whatnot, these are the people that don't understand the gospel. They might believe they understand it, but as you look at them, you say, I don't think they get it. And so instead of seeing them as people who are hard-hearted, see them for the way that God sees them. Those who have not yet experienced the miraculous change of heart like you got to where you then were brought understanding. Right? You weren't soft enough, and that's why the seed germinated in your life. You were hard, and God did a work. Those who don't understand the message of the gospel have the word of God ripped away from them. The devil and his minions come and strip away. They tear, they plunder from these people the seed that has been given to them. For those who are the pathway people, we ought to have compassion on them. And continue to share the truth every chance we get with them until understanding dawns in their hearts. This is not a final analysis of these people. It wasn't a final analysis with you. This is just descriptive of the kinds of people that the Word of God lands upon. You know those people. You know those people that they really didn't understand the message of the gospel. And when you come back to them, it's like, were you listening to me? Right? You ever have those people when you share the gospel with them? And like, and they're like, great. And then you're like, okay, so repeat it back to me. Huh? Were your ears shut? Yes. Yes, they were. Those who have ears to hear, let them hear. Blessed are you, for you have ears to hear. They don't. So when you are sharing the gospel, the message of the kingdom with people who don't understand, don't get frustrated. All right. Don't be holier than thou either. Y'all get frustrated, don't you? I saw a couple heads. Y'all get frustrated, don't you? They don't get it. So instead of frustration, pray. Turn your heart towards the one who is able to till that pathway. To create good soil so that the word that you're sharing with them can continue to grow. These people have like spiritual amnesia, don't they? But it's not their fault. The devil comes and by force snatches it away so that they can't understand, they can't remember, and they can't get it. What should we then do? The last things that Jesus said bodily on this earth to his disciples, right before he was taken up in the ascension, after his resurrection from the dead, after all the teaching that he performed, after Thomas sees the resurrected Lord and cries, "My Lord, my God," after all that takes place, the last thing he says to his followers, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore," based on my authority, "and make disciples." He didn't say, "indiscriminately cast seed on the ground." He didn't say that your job, the disciples' job, is to just bark out the gospel and walk away. Make disciples. And if that wasn't clear enough, what did he say? Because what's a disciple? A disciple is a learner, one who follows after their master, right? So make disciples. And then what does he say after that? Teaching them to obey all that I have commanded you. What should we do with those people who don't understand? Do everything within your power to continue pouring the message of the kingdom into them until God does a work. Don't be satisfied with just, "Well, I put the seed there and it's up to them." It's not up to them. It's up to God. And he has set it to where we are the ones who are called to keep planting, keep watering, keep cultivating, keep going. Don't get frustrated just because they're pathway people and they don't understand. Continue to nurture that pathway and pray that God will get the rototiller out, right? You know, the big one, and just turn that pathway into good soil. We have another three soils, so let's pick up the pace a little bit. Huh? Just listen a little faster, you know. Rocky soil. Matthew 13, verse 5. Other seeds fell on rocky ground, where they did not have much soil. And immediately they sprung up, since they had no depth of soil. Verse 20 and 21, as for what was sown on rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no root in himself, but endures for a while, and when tribulation or persecution arises on account of the word, immediately he falls away. Now we see people who did understand the word. These are people that understood the message of the kingdom, right? These are different people. These are those who heard, understood, and who responded in joy. That's confusing. As a matter of fact, to a lot of commentators, that's confusing. There's a lot of people that believe that, okay, well then this is a Christian soil. This is good soil. No. Because good soil doesn't fall away. Good soil produces fruit. And here's the key. The key is that Jesus, when he describes it, he explains they have no root. What they have is a head knowledge. They have an understanding, but that's all they have. There are some translations that use the phrase "no firm root." But that word "firm" isn't in the Greek. It's not in the original languages. It's just no root. And so therefore, if there are any farmers in the room, if you plant a seed and there are no roots, then you ain't going to get no fruit. That's a dead seed. Did not germinate. And it cannot produce anything. So the production that you see is just intellectual. It's just information that they understand. And here's how I would liken it. It's the kind of person who hears the gospel and says, man, that makes sense. Because I believe that our faith is rational. I believe that our faith is the most genius plan of all that there could have possibly been. And so the most intelligent person should look at the gospel and say, wow, what intellect designed this whole thing to unfold? It is far surpassing my understanding of how genius the mind is that created this idea. The whole world and how it runs and the idea of the gospel that man would sin and that because of that sin, God would secure a much greater relationship with his creation based not upon their obedience, but upon God's own obedience to himself. And then would take that righteousness and he would put it on that people, and he would declare them righteous based on his merits and thus secure for eternity a people wholly devoted to him. Wow, what intellect. And so there are people who understand the gospel. They get it. Boy, that's smart. And they say, behold, monotheism. This is good. I like it. I'm going to run. You know what? The danger would be, this is the right religion. I'm going to be a Christian now. That's not Christianity. Ready? The greater danger. This is the only real religion. Therefore, I'm a Christian. That is a deadly proposition. Because that is this soil. The one who understands it, receives it, but cannot bear fruit because it hasn't been born inside of them. All it is intellectual truth. All it is maybe even an experiential truth. Maybe it's not just the idea of something that makes sense to them. Maybe it doesn't necessarily make that much sense to them. Maybe it just feels good. Boy, there's a lot of that going around, isn't there? Those who become Christian, they convert to Christianity because Christianity makes them feel good. And what happens to the intellectual? And what happens to the emotional when persecution comes because of the word? Jesus says they fall away immediately. I need you to hear this. You might be rocky soil this morning. You might have decided that Christianity is it for you. Because you like the intellectual reality of it. It makes sense to you. You might have chosen Christianity. You might have chosen to be a part of this church or to come and to be here because this place and what we say and how we say it and the communication that we have amongst ourselves, it makes you feel good. That will send you to hell. You might be pathway people. Teenagers, listen. Oh, teenagers, listen. Psst. Hi. I'm just trying to get everybody's eyes. Now she feels terrible. The danger of you being pathway people is high. The danger of you being pathway people is high. You don't get it. You're here. Why? You ain't got any other choice. Adults, old and young, parents, moms, dads, you might be here because your wife wants you here, or your husband wants you here, but you don't understand it. You're more interested in things on your phone. You're more interested in business things, secular things. You might be rocky people, kids, adults, people in this room. Oh my goodness, you might meet God today. And if you are rocky soil, to where, okay, it makes sense to you. I'm not pathway people, okay? It makes sense to me. Or I like how it makes me feel sometimes. So I'm a Christian. That will send you to hell. All the while thinking you're safe. This is what Jesus is talking about. This is the meaning of the parable of the soils. And we've got one more. Well, we got two more, but we got one more that we need to worry about. We have rocky soil, and then we have thorny soil. Oh, goodness. There's a progression here. There's a progression within these soils. Do you hear it? Those who don't understand. And they just don't get it. Then there's those who understand it but miss it. And they're like, okay, so it makes sense to me, or I like how it feels, or fill in the blank of whatever it is. And you understand the message, but you ain't got no root. It has not affected your heart. It's affected your mind or your emotions. It has not been birthed in you. But now there's people who again, they understand it, but they don't care for it. And wow, if I could just one more time grab the attention of the younger people. It's dangerous. This is dangerous. But this might be you. Adults? I'm not a teenager. He's not talking to me. There is a huge danger that this could be you. That you don't care for the gospel, but the message of the kingdom more than you care for the things of this world. Man, if that's not just something that our culture right now is just exploding on. There's so many things that can distract you. Instagram, TikTok, not Facebook anymore. Maybe for some of you older people, Facebook. Snapchat. See, all the young people are laughing, and all the old people are like, well, I just got on Facebook. You know. Sorry, it's like a southern older lady. It's like I don't know what happened to me. I was like morphed. There's so many things that can distract you, that vie for your attention. And all that they are thorns that grow up to choke out the word that you're getting right now. And it will kill you. It will kill you. Man, this is not just teenage stuff. This is not just kid stuff. This is adult stuff. Business. How much money you have in your bank account, whether or not you can pay your bills or not. It can choke out the word of God, the thing that matters for eternity. Go live under a bridge if you get to save your soul. If your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off. If your right eye causes you to sin, pluck it out. If there are distractions that are drawing you away from the word, the seed, the message of the kingdom, cut them down. They will kill you. They will kill you. Listen to what Jesus says. Verse 7. Other seeds fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. Do you know what that word means in the Greek? Choked them. It means it choked them. Like, no extra necessary meaning. You know what it means to be choked to death. One time I was a kid and I was in a pool and we were playing sharks and minnows. Anybody ever play sharks and minnows before? There was this one kid who was so nasty to me. He was, you know the kid. Some of you are those kids. I'm just saying. That kid might be in this room and I don't know. But I'm a shark and I'm coming. And he jumps over my head and there's all this thrashing going on. And he grabs my hair. Notice I don't have long hair anymore. No, I'm just kidding. He grabs my hair and he holds my head underwater. Maybe to be funny or maybe to, I don't know. And it lasts what seems like an eternity. And I gulp in my first gulp of water. And I begin to become terrified for my very life. And I'm scratching and clawing and he's holding me underwater. And finally, I'm able to pry his hands out of my hair. Taking hair, that's why I'm so bald right now. I was like 8 years old, but still, the scar tissue, that's what it is. I crested the opening of the water, and I gasped for life. And I came to the edge of the pool, and I began to cough up all this water that I had consumed. And I ran to my grandmother, because I was in Georgia, her community pool thing going on. It doesn't matter. All that matters. I said to her, I was like, somebody tried to kill me. How do you think she responded? Oh, go swim. But that's what it was. It felt like someone was killing me. They were choking the life out of me. They were drowning me. The cares of this world, the deceitfulness of money, it will take your life away. He says in verse 22, as for what was sown among thorns, this is the one who hears the word. They get it. They heard it. They understand it. But the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. The pathway has no fruit. The rocky soil, because of no root, has no fruit. And because of the cares of this world, the thorny ground has no fruit. And so therefore, if it is fruitless, then the Father will cut off every branch that does not bear good fruit and will cast it into the fire. Man, I have so many more notes. We are rapidly running out of time. You need to get this. You need to get this. If you're here and you're a pathway kind of person where you just don't understand it or you didn't understand it, but yet you're paying attention this morning, maybe unlike other times that I drone on and on, or Demetrius and I drone on and on about this whole gospel stuff, count it a blessing. Count it a gift of God that he has caught your attention. Wow, you're paying attention. You're hearing this. That is a work of God tilling that hard-packed soil that can't understand. Ask somebody who knows. Ask somebody who understands. Talk to me. Talk to Demetrius. Talk to anybody who you think might understand this stuff and go ahead and admit it. I don't understand the gospel. Help me. If you're a person who feels like you've had an intellectual experience with God, or you've just had this emotional experience with God, and I chose Christianity. Jesus didn't choose me. Find somebody. Reach out to them. Talk to them. Tell them that. Say, I might be rocky soil. What is more important? You might meet God today. Maybe you know that you're thorny ground. Maybe you know that the cares of this world, the bank account, the sales, the things that you need to sell in order to make a buck, in order for you to be able to provide for your families or to get ahead in this world or whatever it is, or maybe the distractions that you find so alluring and enticing on TikTok. Some of you people don't know what TikTok is. That's fine. You don't need to know. And the kids would be like, yeah, stay off of it. These distractions, they will kill you. But think about this. Maybe you're so distracted all the time. Maybe on Sunday mornings you're distracted. Maybe on at this time of week when we come together, this is your time to catch up on your email or whatever it is that you do. But you're paying attention now. Somehow your attention has been grabbed. That's God, not me. That's God working in your heart to grab your attention so that you might hear, so that God might burn the thorns out of your life and make you good soil. So let's look at good soil. Good soil is the only soil that gets you home. Matthew 13, 8 and 9, Jesus parabolically says this. Other seeds fell on good soil and produced grain. Some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. He who has ears, let him hear. Verse 23, Jesus explains the parable to his disciples. As for what was sown on good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understands it. He indeed bears fruit and yields. In one case, 100-fold, in another, 60, and in another, 30. What did the dirt do to be good soil? That's right. Nothing. We value good, rich, nutrient soil. If you're going to buy a farm, you test it. Test its soil. Water content, nutrients, the acidity of the ground, all of those things to see if that soil was going to match up with what you can grow on that plot of land. What are the pH levels? How much nitrogen's in the ground? All of this matters. If the soil is lacking in something or needs to be tweaked to grow the kinds of crops that you need to grow there, you till the ground, you fertilize the ground, you work the soil, you cultivate the ground to be fruitful land. But what does the dirt do in this equation? Nothing. If you're good soil, it's because you were once pathway soil. Dirt that God supernaturally breathed understanding into. If you're good soil, you were once rocky soil that God miraculously changed, dug up all the rocks, and provided you with depth so that you might have a root and grow. If you are good soil, Jesus burned the weeds and the thorns that were growing up to choke out the fruit that the seed can produce in you. You don't cultivate you. He cultivates you. Why do I say that? Because if you're pathway people right now, and miraculously God has opened your eyes to see that you don't understand the gospel, you can't do anything to understand it. You can't read enough. You can't pray enough. You can't do anything to cultivate yourself. But just ask God, make me understand. Make me understand. If you think you can do something enough to get it finally, you will spin your wheels and only become frustrated, and it will give time for the birds of the air to come and devour whatever truth you've gotten this morning. Go to good soil, those who are around you. Tell them. Keep you accountable. Have them help you understand. Let God use his hands and feet to cultivate you as that soil. If you are rocky ground and somehow miraculously God has opened your eyes to see that this morning, don't think you can do anything yourself. You can't dig out the rocks yourself. You are dirt. You are soil. You need God's hands and feet to come and to pull the rocks and the boulders out of your life with you, for you, so that you then can be good soil. If you're thorny soil, then God has miraculously revealed to you that there are distractions choking out the word of God in your life. Go to the hands and feet of Jesus that they might get their hands dirty in your lives, pulling the weeds and plucking the thorns from your heart. That they might be the hands and feet that God uses to make you good soil. You can't do it, so lean on us. Good soil people, this is how you produce 160 and 30-fold. This is one of the ways that you produce fruit, by going to others and helping them understand, not giving up on them, not becoming frustrated by them, digging out the rocks, working with them in compassion and love, to getting your hands dirty. So I hate pulling weeds. My wife likes it. I don't know what. They say opposites attract, I guess. That's what it is. I don't like it. But it's necessary to have good soil. And ladies and gentlemen, good soil people, I want to produce 100-fold for Jesus. That's great. You know what that means? Getting your hands pricked by the thorns that are growing up in other people's lives. Doing the things you don't want to necessarily do. Getting down in the dirt with those who are around you. Bleeding because their thorns have wrapped around your hand. That's one thing. Another thing to note about good soil. I love the way that Christ explains the yield of the grain. So he says, some produce 100-fold, some produce 60-fold, and some produce 30. We like to quantify things, don't we? And what do we want to be? Who wants to be the 30-fold? Raise your hand. No. Like, okay, I'm content with 60. But we're all going to say, I want to be 100, right? Oh, Lord, let me be 100. I want to light the world on fire for you. You know, everything else like that. That's what I want. I want to be 100-fold. I'm going to be 100-fold. We like to quantify it. And I love that Jesus quantified it. He's like, some are 100-fold Christians that are producing fruit 100-fold. That's, you know, so that you understand, it's not literally the number 100. It's the idea of the most possible fruit, right? And so then the 60 is, that's not half of 100. So it's a little bit better. You know, it's like, it's a little bit better than half. You know, so they're like not mediocre Christians, don't get me wrong. But it's that, like, you know, okay, maybe we're on the way to 100-fold Christianity. And then you got 30, and you're like, oh man, those 30 Christians. Don't want to be one of them. You know, on the day of judgment, you know, God's going to be like separating the Christians. You know, he's like, all right, you're 100 people over here. You're my hundreds. You're in my 60s. I like you too. And you're the 30s. You know, that's how we view that, don't we? You don't want to admit it, but dadgummit, you definitely think that way. Because I think that way. I don't want to be 30. Good heavens, I don't want to be 15, 10, 5. But the point that Jesus is making is, first, good soil produces fruit. How much fruit? Doesn't matter. So wait a second, but I want to be the 100. Nope. Doesn't matter. Who's the fruit for? Is it for you? Who's that grain produced for? But the master. Who produces the grain in the soil? Ooh, there's one for you. Does the soil do it? No. You're dirt. So terrible. You're dirt. And praise God that you're dirt. You sit there, and God does his work through you. Sometimes there are people in this world, sometimes there are Christians in this world that you look at and say, man, they are 100-fold Christians. And who did that work? Jesus did. Who knows, in God's economy, those people who look like they've done 100-fold may very well be the 30-fold people. Because the fruit of Christianity is not external. It is vertical and it is heavenly. Do not store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and rust destroy, where robbers break in and steal. But store up your treasures in heaven, where moth and rust do not destroy and robbers do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there also is your heart. Ladies and gentlemen, you are producing fruit for the kingdom of heaven through the message of the kingdom. What does that look like in the final tally? Only God knows. So stop caring. Just be faithful. Do as God has called you to do. Be faithful to his word. Good fruit, good seed, I mean, good soil. Just run through the whole gramut. Be good soil and sit there. Let God work through you. And don't be so concerned with what your plot of ground is versus your neighbor. Because at the end of the day, hey, God made you good soil. And you're safe. I have a personal question that I want to leave us with this morning. And I pray, I've been praying, that each one of us would ask ourselves this question and let this question germinate in our hearts. Endlessly. What soil are you really? What are you really? And don't let pride or position or your past dictate how you answer that question. Well, I've been going to church my whole life. Surely I must be good soil. Or maybe you just haven't quite understood it. Or maybe it just made sense to you and that's it. Or maybe you know down in your heart of hearts you're distracted. Let's pray together. Father, I come before you asking for your help for all of us, God, that we would not wouldn't be distracted by anything that's happened before in our lives, but that today we would evaluate ourselves right now, and moving forward we would take this moment right now, because Father, you do not promise to us another breath. Every moment we are alive is a moment of gifted. You've given us this moment. And so, Father, I pray that we would not squander these moments that we have, but that we would secure in our hearts who we are in your kingdom. And I beg you, God, I beg you, God, let people see the condition of their hearts before you. Move in them, till their hearts. Cultivate their hearts, God, that they might repent of their sin and believe the message of the kingdom. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.